Sometimes the wait can seem so long and painful. Let me bring back a conversation I had about that very thing, the wait, from a biblical perspective. Hello, welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are in time for this week's edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Starting out with a song by Jonathan Butler. I want to start out with this song because I really do want us to be encouraged. I'm going to be talking about this whole issue of waiting. And I'm really breaking it down to this. When waiting is hard. He really is God, and I know sometimes that's the very reason that we can become so discouraged. Yeah, it's time for some more real talk about real life. Real talk about the real world. Real talk about the way we really handle long waits. You know, it can be, as I mentioned, particularly trying, testing, when we get to the point where we think, you know, I've been waiting for God, and I've been waiting a long time. You know, you think about some of these phases or cycles that we go through when we're waiting. Depending on what we're waiting for, or whom we perceive we're waiting on, the wait can sometimes be easy, especially if it has not been a long wait. Long can be relative depending on how badly we need whatever it is we're waiting for. It can be relative depending on our personalities, because what might be a 1 week wait for something may seem like a short period of time for one person, whereas for someone else, waiting for the exact same thing, for the exact same period of time, 1 week, can seem like an eternity. It depends on what we're waiting for, how great we perceive the need to be, how easy it is or is not can depend on our personalities and other things. Sometimes the wait can be kind of easy. At other times, the wait can be difficult, fairly difficult. And it requires a little bit of energy on our part to keep persevering, but we can go through it. It's okay. We're making it. At other times, that wait can seem to be very, very hard. And we have to really persevere then. Now, I know it can get kind of confusing at this point because I'm saying that when we're waiting and it's difficult for us to wait, there are times when we're just going to have to really persevere. And I say I know it can get kind of tricky at that point because I know that there are some people who teach that if you put your faith out there, when you ask God for whatever it is that you need and or want, you don't have to persevere. All it takes then is just believing God. And as long as you're believing him, you don't have to persevere. this is what I would encourage you to do. Get a concordance. Even whether it's a concordance in the back of your Bible or preferably one of the bigger concordances. Look up the word persevere or look up the word perseverance and see if you can find that word anywhere in the Bible. And if you can find that word used in the Bible, find out what context it is used in. See if you can find it. And it's in the context of waiting. Something that you want or need. And don't just think about money and houses either. Come on now. We have quite a few needs. Sometimes we need peace because persecution is so severe. Sometimes we don't have the money we want because we're being persecuted and just don't realize it. We need rest from our enemies when they're constantly slandering our names and trying to ruin our reputations. There are so many needs. So think about what you need, what you want, what you've been asking of God. See if waiting has been involved. And if waiting has been involved, ask yourself, well, has perseverance also been a part of the equation? Or should it have been part of the equation? Let me read to you Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. We suffer. I know that there are people who teach that we don't suffer. The Bible teaches that we do. And remember, when the Lord Jesus spoke to his servant and told him, hey, look, I'm sending Saul to you. And he didn't want to talk with Saul because he had heard about all of those threatenings and all of those killings Saul had been involved in as he persecuted the church. And the Lord Jesus said, no, I'm sending him to you. And I'm going to show him the things that he must suffer for my sake and for the gospel's sake. I am going to show him what he must suffer. That's what the Lord Jesus said. The Bible is very clear that we do suffer. And we must suffer because it is part of our calling. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Suffering is necessary to put us in a position where we have to persevere. Why is perseverance important? Verse 4, perseverance produces character. Godly character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Perseverance is a necessary part of the lifestyle for Christians. And so it really is true, ladies and gentlemen, that when we are waiting for God to give us peace, in our suffering, waiting for God to give us rest from our persecution. Sometimes when we are waiting for God to make a change in our financial circumstances, we're going to have to wait. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years before they received the son God had promised them. They had to persevere while waiting. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, so do not throw away your confidence. This had been talking about some of the sufferings that God's people had been experiencing as a result of the persecution that they were under. And there was a concern that if they decided to give up because of that persecution, they would abandon the Lord Jesus. Now, just so that you know that that's really what was happening, listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light. Those who received the light are those who were born again. I know a lot of people teach in this chapter and they say that there's no such thing as a person being born again and then forfeiting their salvation. If you read chapter 10 of Hebrews very carefully and just read it with integrity, you'll see that he is very clearly teaching that we can make the decision that we want to walk with the Lord Jesus, become joined to him, and then make the decision at some point later that we no longer want to be joined to him, no longer want to be connected to him. And at some point, he will honor our decision. 32, verse 32, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground. And I think that we have some wicked people who are using this passage of scripture, stand your ground laws, that give them excuses to shoot people unjustifiably without cause. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. Listen, he's saying to people who had their property taken away from them because they were born again believers following Christ Jesus. There were people who had been put in prison, saints who had been put in prison, and they went to visit them in prison, to support them, to undergird them, to hold them up, to encourage them. There were times when, like slaves who had been put on the auction block to be ridiculed and sold. These people were publicly exposed to ridicule and persecution. They sympathized with the people who had been treated that way, even though they themselves had been treated that way as well. And when they had their property taken away from them, they joyfully accepted that because, the Bible says, they knew they had better and lasting possessions. They had their homes, their properties taken away from them, and they had no legal recourse. Their property was gone. And the writer of Hebrews was reminding them of how they had responded when all of this was taking place. They encouraged other saints who were going through the same things. They joyfully accepted the taking of their properties. They were showing quite a bit of confidence by responding the way they responded. And so the writer is now telling them in verse 35, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. There are many people who tell us that Christians do not have to persevere once we are exercising faith. The scripture says we need to persevere. I encourage you, believe the scripture, believe God's word, and not some doctrine taught by humans as they give you their word. Some of you have a difficult time persevering because you believe the lie that once you have begun to exercise your faith in God, you don't need to persevere. Christians are taught that we need to do both. We need to exercise faith in God, and we need to persevere. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We must be believing that we will receive what he has promised us. And notice this, while we're believing that, we're also persevering. We're refusing to throw in the towel. Verse 37, for in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. The one whom God calls his righteous one will maintain eternal life, will continue to hold on to eternal life by continuing to exercise faith in God while we continue to persevere. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him, God says. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. But we are of those who believe and are saved. Like I said, when we understand what God says to us through his scripture, we understand that we believe and persevere, because that's the way it's set up. I'll be right back.